podcast. Today we're recording live at Roots Americas 2019 in beautiful, snowy Quebec City. Today we have a special keynote address from Ferio Pugliese, Senior VP Regional Markets and Government Relations at Air Canada.
In this podcast, you'll hear how Air Canada's recent period of sustained growth will give way to a focus on optimising its network and fleet. However, the carrier will continue to target strategic expansions.
Ferry also provides exclusive insight into how the carrier will utilise its brand new A220 aircraft. So, I hope you enjoy. Over to Ferio.
As I look in the room, I see people that have come from south of the border or south of a border. Welcome to Quebec City. If you're wondering about the weather out there, I've been to this city many times through the winter and the summer. It's a beautiful place in the summertime, and it's a beautiful place in the wintertime. It's just cold. So now you know why Canadians choose to travel outside of the city. But for those of you traveling from out of town, I really encourage you to take the time over the next few days to get to see this beautiful city. It's very historic. It's very beautiful in the wintertime. We're honored to be part of this today and to be a lead sponsor here with this event. And we have a long history here in Quebec City as the largest airline serving the city. And I'll speak more of that through my presentation today. But I thought what I would do today is just give you some insight just in terms of where Canada's been over the course of its history, in particular the last 10 years, because I think the last 10 years are probably the most telling, it's the most telling segment of its history probably in the last 80 years. And for those of you that are from Canada or within the closer to the border and have watched this airline evolve and change and transform itself, you largely know what I'm referring to. And I thought I'd share some of that story with you today. It's really a story of transformation. So let me start with a bit of background on Air Canada in an attempt to drive here myself. Last year, we carried more than 50 million customers, a record year with 70% more than we carried 10 years ago. Just to give you a magnitude of proportion, in 2009, we carried just over 19 million passengers. We're named one of Canada's top employers, best airline in North America, along with the Distinguished Skytrax 4-star ranking. And here in the province of Quebec, our home province, we serve 11 communities, employ roughly 9,000 employees, inclusive of Air Canada Vacations, Air Canada Rouge, and Aeroplan. And we also support another 1,000 jobs with our regional partners, close to 40,000 more across the province. As Canada's largest national carrier, we fly the maple leaf on our tail, and we're the first sign of home for Canadians when they board an aircraft on their way home. And for international travelers, with the warm hospitality of our crews, we're usually the first sign of the first taste of Canadian hospitality that they experience before their trip. But I mentioned transformation. The past 10 years in particular have been transformational. And if you think back 10 years ago, and you think back to what was going on just in the world and in our space, in 2009, I would say Air Canada was on its heels. We were in a global recession. If anybody remembers, the price of oil was trading at $140 a barrel. Air Canada was very short on cash, and not only were they short on cash, we were short on prospects. And we were also looking at a very, very large and massive pension deficit. Our shares were trading at less than a dollar in those days. So if you went back 10 years to the day today, and it's ironic, today we hit an all-time high at just over $32 we traded today. 10 years ago today, we were sitting just south of a dollar. In addition, the world's traveling public was just only beginning to get past the horrific events of 9/11 and then global health epidemics like SARS. The entire economy was struggling with the economic downturn, and airlines were particularly hard hit because global travel was at its lowest level and the lowest it's been in years. So the story of transformation here is really one of a group of people, the people of Air Canada, the 30,000 people who make the company strong, they set an ambitious goal at that point in time to turn the company into a global champion. And they set a course of turning that into reality. So what was needed was a roadmap. So let me share with you the three underpinnings of that roadmap. And I can tell you this, because during this period of time that Air Canada was going through the transformation or embarked on that transformation, I happened to be working for the competition, WestJet. And there was a lot of skepticism in the industry. In fact, I would say here, I'm a self-proclaimed skeptic. I was just as skeptical as everyone else watching what was happening, what needed to happen. Big airline, a big turnaround was needed. But the transformation was to happen, and it happened on three fronts. Strengthen the balance sheet. So an investment in capital, a reduction of debt, reduction of costs, going after additional revenue was going to be critical. Reducing the cost of capital was also going to be a facet. Investing in people and investing in customer engagement. Those were the three prime factors that the company was going to go after and embark on this transformation. So let's talk about investing in capital. Building and strengthening a balance sheet was obviously job one, and it would take many deep steps and calculated risks to shift this around. As many of you around the room, you know that when you're investing in capital in this business, it means investing massively. It's not small, and it means investing massively to use the lever of revenue to your advantage. You're not going to do that without a large capital investment. You're not going to do that without an extensive fleet. We used the capital to do that, and in areas that we knew would benefit our customers for decades. And the most significant investment in this process came with the fleet. The fleet is diverse. If you look at the fleet transformation, it includes the purchase of some of today's most advanced aircraft. On the narrow body front, the 737 MAX has entered our fleet in 2017, and what that is bringing us is better range, better flexibility, a better cost profile, and our plan is to grow our fleet as we start to move other aircraft out of just over 60 of the MAX aircraft. In addition, we took a look at our E190s, and our solution for that was the new A220, formerly the C-Series, which is planned to enter our fleet at the end of this year. This will open up a whole new host of opportunities, including many across North America, with enhanced connectivity to our hubs, and I'll talk a bit more about our hub strategy. Many of you are probably wondering where are these new 220s going to go. Much of that will be replacement flying, but stay tuned because there will certainly be some new flying attached to that. The new aircraft, along with the introduction of additional long haul, was also part of the plan. So we saw the introduction of 787s and doubling down on long haul aircraft like the 777ER, which were investments that have enhanced our global reach, network flexibility, and in particular product offerings for the business class customer and improved operating efficiency. So today, we have one of the most fuel efficient fleets in the world. It's a fleet renewal optimization. Operations have avoided over 1,500 megatons of CO2 emissions that have been avoided. And I'd say that's with or without a carbon tax, And if you compared it to our levels in 1990, that puts the fleet at roughly just over 40% more efficient than it was over 25 years ago. We have a multitude of brands. So part of the transformation was also meeting the needs and servicing the diversity of our customer base. So today we have Air Canada Rouge, Air Canada Express, of which I'm responsible for, and Air Canada Mainline. These distinctions exist because each one has a unique role to play in our corporate strategy and allows more flexibility in building an efficient network. Efficient, cost-effective operating platform, a myriad of product service offers that meets a growing and diverse business and demand for our customer mix. If I look to Rouge as an example, you can see the network has grown substantially since its launch in 2013. And just to give you a flavor, the benefit of Rouge and the reason for Rouge was to give us an opportunity to redeploy and repurpose our 319s, 320s, and 767s into the leisure market, a more price-sensitive market, leisure-based product for customers looking for more affordable air travel to sun destinations and leisure destinations. And so since we launched Rouge, we are serving 70 destinations around the world. And the Rouge team now employs 2,000 people with 53 aircraft. And we've since served over 25 million customers since our launch in 2013. And I'd be remiss if I didn't point to Rouge once again and a bit of our history and color here in the city of Quebec City, because Air Canada is the most committed airline in the city. As I mentioned, we have 16,000 flights and over 1.2 million seats flown in and out in the last year alone. That is nearly as much as all airlines in the city. And in 2017, we began our Rouge service into Quebec, Toronto, Montreal. And it is a bold but a very, very successful move that helps carry tourists in larger numbers to cities and increases our visitors every year. With that combined effort, more and more tourists are visiting Quebec City. And they're coming in large groups. This is the advantage of the tour operator product. And in addition, Rouge is a great example of how collaborating with tourism industry in this community and at this destination can lead to sustained growth. We're very pleased with the way this service is materializing for us. And so a good example is when the Korean soap opera Goblin, The Lonely and Great God, featured scenes in Quebec City and shots of Chateau Frontenac, Air Canada was there to provide connectivity and needed to bring tourists from Asia in droves. And we're giving Asia a taste of Quebec City, and now we're seeing the fruits of the labor with additional traffic coming through for tourism. I'm going to turn to Express, because Express is a very strategic part of our business. It would represent our regional flying. I like to think of it as the workhorse. It's the connector airline, which carries more than 300,000 passengers weekly, and it feeds three of our major hubs, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver. And in fact, Air Canada Express carries roughly one-third of all of our traffic. Okay, so it's fairly significant. And we enhance our North American domestic and transborder network through our CPAs with very, very good partners, including Jazz, Sky Regional, Air Georgian, and Evis. Express is especially important for Air Canada because one element that is critical to us is it allows us to really leverage our six freedom travelers from the US to our major hubs in Canada, and then connect, obviously, beyond within our global network. And our customers recognize the value of that Six Freedom connectivity, and obviously you can see that as savvy customers in the U.S. have chosen Air Canada for those purposes and for that advanced connectivity. When I think of the network as a whole, when we combine all of that and roll it all up, Air Canada's extensive global network provides scheduled service to 63 airports, in 56 in the United States, 98 in Europe, Africa, the Middle East, Australia, the Caribbean, Mexico, Central America, and South America. This represents an average of 1,600 scheduled flights each day. So when I think back to we talked about deploying capital, I can say honestly the capital isn't sleeping. It's being put to work and with this massive network expansion. To put the growth in perspective, if you looked at the last 5 to 6 years, we grew half as much as we did in the last 75 years of our history. And since the beginning of 2016, we announced and began more than 85 new transborder and international routes. Our international connecting travel has more than doubled since 2013. And this growth, as we look to the future, we're going to continue to stand behind the growth. We're going to continue to double down on our commitment to our hubs. But you can expect that this growth will taper slightly in the next few years and will focus on optimizing our network, enhancing the aircraft utilization, and working on more significant hub investments to meet customer needs and the changing demand of our customers. I'd also be remiss if I didn't talk about step two, which was very critical to the transformation, which is the investment in people and in talent. And I'm proud to say that we have a team of over 30,000 that rank among the industry's best. We're recognized as Canada's top diversity employers with more races, genders, cultures, languages, and ethnic backgrounds we have inside, the better we can serve our global customers outside. The more creative and diversity we think our workforce can be, obviously the more creative and diverse the thought process and the better we are equipped to meet these global demands. And just to give you a sense, our active population grew last year by roughly 8%, and turnover is down 2% to roughly 5.6% in 2018. So I like to look at this and say we compete for talent, but we also compete on talent. And then finally, the third piece was customer engagement, which obviously in our business can't be overlooked. Commercial aviation is very competitive, as you know. And, you know, there's competitors that are unrelenting in luring our customers away, always looking for ways to improve product offerings. So we relish competition at Air Canada, and we use it as a motivation to continually raise our game and have no intention of resting on our laurels. And we have made continuous improvement part of our DNA, and customers deserve nothing less. It's been said in business that you do your best business on Main Street. So hence, one of the areas, and you see it on the screen, just the reference to digital, is we're putting a heavy, heavy investment in IT infrastructure, digital, data mining, artificial intelligence, to being easier to do business with, both on the web and mobile. So there's no reason why an 80-year-old legacy company can't be hip with technology. Lounges, something very important to many of our traveling passengers and customers, in particular the business traveler. We've invested heavily here, and you're starting to see as you travel through our network more investment. And now that the balance sheet has been strengthened, it allows us the opportunity to pour more investment into this product type. Last year, Skytrax dubbed our signature suite the best business class pre-flight dining facility in the world. And we have an additional 23 lounges across North America and Europe that we're going to continue to support. On the loyalty front, we successfully acquired Aeroplan, which this year will bring our digital and loyalty teams up to over 200 people focused solely on these areas of building out a loyalty platform and strengthening that digital environment, that digital storefront, so we continue to be very flexible and efficient in terms of how we do business directly with our customers and the ease of doing business with customers. So has it yielded results? Well, the question would be, is it paying off? And, you know, I think what I would say is that Air Canada has built a durable business, a durable balance sheet for customers, employees, investors alike. And if you just look over the course of the last 10 years, if somebody, I was musing with one of my colleagues who had been with Air Canada for some time, and I reminded him if he invested $1,000 10 years ago today, it would be worth roughly $43,000 today. So it's roughly a 4,000% increase in trading value. And if you look at last year alone, the TSX index fell by 11.6%. The Dow fell by 5.6%. North American Airlines by 22%. But our shares retained their value into 2019. And as I said today, we're very proud to have hit an all-time high at $32, something that 10 years ago would have been unforeseen. But through the commitment of many, we've gotten there. I'm going to close here, but there's a few things I did want to speak to as industry colleagues, because as we look to the horizon, we're not done yet. We're going to continue to grow this airline, build it, expand it. The global strategy continues to be something that is important to us and that we're going to stay focused on. But I think you would agree that this business is full of headwinds and tailwinds. And so when I think of headwinds, I'm particularly mindful of impractical regulatory reform on the horizon. And I think it's important that ourselves as operators, third-party providers, regulators, that we're mindful of this, because we're among the highest operators in the world, government costs, taxes and charges in the world, yet we're now talking about adding more burdensome costs, in the billions I might add, without any real coordination or consultation. This doesn't configure our industry to compete globally, and this needs to change. You only need to look south of the border of the U.S., which is not as encumbered by these same rates, taxes, and fees as we are, and the result is cheaper air travel. People vote with their wallets, which is luring 3.3 to 5 million Canadians a year, and yes, that's a lot of Canadian dollars leaving the industry. And I share that with you because I've been in this business only the better part of a decade. I spent my career in many other industries. I left the industry for a matter of 3 years and returned back. And these very issues we were talking about 3 and 5 years ago, and returning back to the industry, we're still talking about them. And if we are not going to address these issues in a concerted effort, and I mean, again, on the part of all operators, airports, service providers, regulators, in a concerted effort where we have good data to back up changes in regulations that meet customer needs effectively and not with unforeseen consequences. Unfortunately, the cost of air travel is not going to go down. It's going to continue to go up, and it's going to continue or get to a point where it's unaccessible and not competitive with what's happening elsewhere in the world. So let me just appeal to you this way in the end, as I have a remaining 20 seconds. There's few industries that afford us the opportunity to connect people to the world. We, the royal we in this room, are the enablers. If you think of it, we build communities, we help businesses thrive, we employ people, we improve lives, and we build relationships, all because we connect people. Continuing to invest in these services and making them safe, accessible, and affordable shouldn't just be an option and a nice to do. It's absolutely critical to meet that purpose. Turning back to Air Canada, I want to thank and congratulate the team of 30,000 hard-working aviation professionals and the 32,000 retirees for achieving an objective of creating a global champion. Our work's not finished. I think the best is yet to come. And I want to thank Quebec City once again. Let's keep flying together. My thanks.
We hope you enjoyed that exclusive insight from Ferio, and don't forget to download the other Roots Aviation podcasts, where you can hear from the likes of Willie Walsh, Alex Kruth, and Kenny Jacobs.
These are also available on the rootsonline.com website, along with breaking aviation news, insight, and analysis. So please take a look.